So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. I hope that everyone had a safe and very enjoyable past week, and I'm going to start the show out this week with August White History Month. This is, of course, courtesy of Brother Mike up in New York. I want to thank you very much, Mike, for sending me these things. They are very interesting. I really like the first one. On August 6th, 1864, the CSS Tallahassee, which stands for Confederate States Ship, went through a blockade from her home port of Wilmington, North Carolina, yes, here in the great state of North Carolina. Her first day out, four cruisers chased after the Tallahassee without incident. Apparently could not catch her. On August the 7th in 1779, German scientist Carl Ritter was born in Quedlinburg, considered one of the founders of the modern science of geography. On August 7th in 1959, NASA launched Explorer 6, to study trapped radiation, cosmic rays, geomagnetism, radio propagation, and micrometeorite flux. That's a mouthful. On August 7th, a lot of August 7ths here. On August 7th in 1976, NASA's Viking 2 orbiter entered Mars's orbit. I do remember that as a kid. On August the 8th in 1863, Robert E. Lee offered to resign as commander of the Army of Northern Virginia. On August 9th in 1483, the first Mass at the Sistine Chapel was held. On August 9th in 1902, Edward VII was crowned King of England at Westminster Abbey. On August 11th in 1862, Confederate partisans captured Independence, Missouri. Well, all right for them. On August the 14th in 1777, Danish scientist Hans Christian Oersted was born in Rudkøbing. Known for finding that electric currents create magnetic fields, the Oersted, which is the CGS unit of magnetic H field strength, is named after him. Interesting. It's even got its own abbreviation, OE. On August the 14th in 1880, construction of the Cologne Cathedral was completed. On August 14th in 1894, English physicist Sir Oliver Joseph Lodge made the first wireless transmission of information using Morse code. That's interesting. You know, speaking of Morse code, if you remember last year, folks, I was picking up Morse code transmissions through my bed frame, and my box spring was acting like a loudspeaker and amplifying it, and it turned out that it was from an electrical cord that was touching my bed frame, and it was acting like a giant antenna, and the electricity that was going through the cord was making the charge that was making my mattress pick this up, this transmission. Once I discovered what it was, I pulled the cord out of the wall because I thought there was a short in it. But a few days ago, my dad's left hearing aid started picking up Morse code transmissions. Even when his phone is turned off, even when his Bluetooth is turned off, it only happens in his left hearing aid. And it can last for hours at a time, to the point where he has to take the damn thing out of his ear. So somebody nearby is broadcasting in Morse code. I need to find out what in the world is going on, because In this day and age, if somebody's broadcasting in code like that out of a subdivision, might be some nefarious things going on. Getting back to this, on August 14th, 1903, American heavyweight boxer James Jeffries knocked out former champion James Corbett to defend his title. August 15th, 1843, Tivoli Gardens opened in Copenhagen. It is one of the oldest still intact amusement parks in the world. Wow. 1843, and it's still in... Wow, that's amazing. So many things go out of business, especially things like theme parks. They tend to not last very long, but that's awesome. 150 years. Oh, more than that. Almost 180 years. Wow, that's amazing. On August the 15th in 1934, you can tell math is not my strong suit. On August the 15th in 1934, Americans William Beebe and Otis Barton descended to a record-breaking depth of 3,028 feet in a bathysphere that was designed by Barton. On August 16th in 1960, U.S. Air Force pilot Joseph Kittinger made his famous parachute jump from a balloon at 102,800 feet as part of Project Excelsior. He dropped from the altitude of 102,800 feet to 84,700 feet before opening his parachute to research high-altitude bailouts. Well, he picked up some information and research that he had no intention of picking up on, but we did learn something from it. I remember seeing this on television some years ago. He developed a leak in, I think it was his left glove, one of his gloves anyway, and by the time he got down to the ground, the lack of pressure had caused his hand to swell to twice its normal size, which I guess will be rather painful, cause a little bit of capillary damage. But he didn't suffer any long-term damage, which was good. Now, there is a misconception out there that when you are exposed to zero air pressure or very close, that you will explosively decompress. This is a lot in part thanks to the movie Outland with Sean Connery, where all the bad guys were exploding out in the vacuum of the surface of Io. It does not happen. Two Russian cosmonauts back in, I believe it was the 60s, lost their pressure in their cabin as they were coming in, and when they were found completely intact. They did not explode. Their eyes did not blow out. They simply passed out almost immediately. And then when they succumbed a few minutes later, there was no more internal pressure, so there was no damage. You don't explode like they show in the movies. What does happen, though, is the saliva on your tongue and the fluid on the surface of your eyeballs will begin to boil, so you will get a fizzing sensation, much like Pop Rocks. Because we do have American astronauts who have actually been exposed to a complete vacuum for brief periods of time, and they described what happened, and that's what it is, and then you just simply pass out. Not as bad as they make it out to be. August 16th, 1850. See, you learn just about anything by listening to this show, because I retain all the information I've ever heard, so I've got all this trivia that just sometimes I'm able to use it on the show. On August 16th, 1858, the first official transatlantic telegram was sent using cable built by American businessman Cyrus Field. August 17th, 1863, Federals began bombardment of Fort Sumter as siege of Fort Wagner continued. On August 17, 1966, NASA launched Pioneer 7 to study solar wind, the solar magnetic field, and cosmic rays. On August 18th in 1877, American astrologer Asaph Hall discovered Phobos, the larger and closer of the two moons belonging to Mars. August 18, 1487, the siege of Malaga came to an end. Spanish Christian forces took the city from the Moors as part of the Reconquista of Spain. I guess that's Reconquista, and that would be Malaga. August 19, 1947, Dutch chemists Josef Ferdinand Arends and David Adrian van Dorp first synthesized vitamin A in a laboratory. August 20th, 1561, Italian composer and singer Jacopo Peri was born in Rome. He composed the first opera, Daphne, around 1597. Can't stand opera. August 21st, 1965, NASA launched Gemini 5, an eight-day trip to test space travel techniques in preparation for the Apollo moon landings. August 23, 1595, Michael the Brave, Prince of Wallachia, defeated the much larger invading Ottoman army at the Battle of Caligurani. Caligurani? Caligarini. Yeah, there we go. We'll go with Caligarini. Michael would go on to unite Wallachia, Transylvania, and Moldavia to form the precursor to modern-day Romania. August the 23rd, 1966, NASA's Lunar Orbiter 1 took the first photograph of Earth from the distance of the Moon. August 24th, 1862, the CSS Alabama commissioned at sea off of Portugal's Azores shores. August 24th, 1963, American Don Schollander set a new world record in the 200-meter freestyle, please, folks, in English, at 1 hour, 58 minutes, and 4 seconds. That's not right. It did it to me again. 1 minute, 58.4 seconds. There we go. A minute 50, almost less than 2 minutes. God, I hate these things. August 24th, I think I'm going to skip them from now on. Anything with time in it, because I'm used to looking at movies and you have a one followed by a colon is 1 hour. The second one is the total of minutes and the one after that are the seconds. I gotta learn to do this. August 24th in 1552, Italian painter Lavinia Fontana was born in Bologna. August 25th, 1841, Swiss doctor Emil Theodor Kocher was born in Bern. He was a pioneer in thyroid surgery and won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1909. August 25th, 1875, Captain Matthew Webb became the first person to swim across the English Channel, going from Dover to Calais in 22 hours. That one was actually spelled out, thank you. August 25th, 1989, NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft made its closest approach to the planet Neptune. On August 25th, 1537, the Honorable Artillery Company was chartered by King Henry VIII, Britain's oldest surviving military organization. August 26th, 1865, Scottish engineer Arthur James Arnault was born in Hamilton. He patented the world's first electric drill in 1889. August 26, 1981, NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft made its closest approach to Saturn, taking pictures and measuring the atmosphere. August 26, 1981, NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft made its close... All right. A repeat. Thank you. See, this is the thing about... Folks, if I make a mistake, you get to hear the whole thing. It was a repeat. August 27th, 1862. I was thinking, wow, they made two passes on the same day to two different planets? All right. On August 27th, 1862, Stonewall Jackson captures and plunders Union Supply Depots at Manassas Junction, Virginia. Awesome. August 27th, 1939, the world's first jet aircraft, the Henkel HE-178, was flown for the first time, piloted by Eric Varsich. August 28, 1862, the Battle of Second Manassas, which we commonly know as Bull Run, began at Browner's Farm in Groveton, Virginia. August 29, 1632, English philosopher John Locke was born in Rington. August 29, 1809, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Cambridge, Mass. He was a physician, professor, author, and one of the best poets in the 19th century. He also graced a postage stamp when I was a kid. That was the 15-cent postage stamp. I remember that because postage was 13 cents for a letter, and they came out with the Oliver Wendell Holmes stamp at the exorbitant price of 15 cents, and we were all outraged. August 29th in 1861, the capture of Forts Hatteras and Clark in North Carolina, ooh, that's not good, was the first combined operation of the Union Army and Navy in the American Civil War, resulting in Union domination of the strategically important North Carolina Sounds. Did you know, folks, I believe North Carolina has the most sounds of any state in the nation. We have five. Let's see if I can remember them. We have the Croatan, the Pamlico, the Albemarle, oh great, I can't remember the other two, but we do have five, which is amazing. The most I've been able to find anywhere else is two or three, so I think we're doing pretty well with that. We also have two national seashores. Every other state that has a national seashore does not have more than two, except for Florida, which has three. Florida has three, North Carolina has two, and the others only have one. We have quite some interesting stuff here in the state of North Carolina. Be glad to share a lot of that with you when I run out of things to talk about and go back to Off the Beaten Path and get to tell you about some of the wonderful sites that we have here in North Carolina. Things to see, things to do, just incredible history here. We have military forts, national military parks. It's incredible. And the scenery is awesome. We have the ocean. We have the mountains. We have still original North Carolina prairie in some places. It's amazing. I love the state. Was not born here. I'm glad I moved here because I will never live anywhere else. On August 29th in 1885, Gottlieb Daimler and Wilhelm Maybach patented the Daimler-Reitwagen, the world's first gasoline-driven motorcycle. On August 30, 1862, the Battle of Second Manassas ended with a decisive Confederate victory. Yes, he won the Battle of Bull Run both times. August 30th, 1987, Bulgarian Stefka Kostadinova set the world record in the women's high jump of 2 meters, 6.5 feet, in Rome. Her record still stands today. August 30th, 1852, Dutch chemist Jacobus Henricus van Hoff, man, that's a mouthful, was born in Rotterdam, winner of the inaugural Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1901. And finally, August 30th, 1968, American swimmer Don Schollander set a world record in the 200-meter freestyle, I'm prepared this time, at 1 minute 54.3 seconds at the Olympic Trials in Long Beach, California. So thank you, Brother Mike, for sending those to me. I always appreciate that. It's stuff that I don't have time to research on my own, and it gives me something very interesting to discuss here on the show. And speaking of time, looks like this is a good time to take a break. So, George, hit the button, get me a bumper out of here, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Alrighty, we are back. Yeah, I love the sound that Iron Maiden came out with in the late 80s like that, where they combined the MIDI guitar with the metal pedals. It was just a really awesome sound. I saw Iron Maiden live in concert in 1992, and apparently they videotape these things. There's something on your ticket stub that says they're allowed to do that. There was a movie that came out about, oh gosh, I want to say maybe 7 or 8 years ago, called Iron Maiden Flight 666, and it featured shots from a lot of the live shows Iron Maiden has done over the years. And apparently they went back and they used some stock footage for filler material, because I'm looking at one of the scenes of the crowd, and there is me from 1992 in a movie that came out in like 2009, 2010, something like that, maybe 2011, somewhere along in there. Anyway, just kind of interesting to see myself that young on television, because I'd only been in something, one other thing, when I was actually a little bit younger than that. So kind of cool to see yourself on TV always. But anyway, at the end of every show here, I tell you, if you have some kind of an event that's going on, to email me and let me know about it. Well, folks, I have one here for you. George, can you pull this up for me? Okay. This is the ArcLatex Regional. It actually looks like ArcLatex, but it is Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas Regional Conference. It's a white unity conference that will be taking place on September 29th of 2018 in New Boston, Texas. The zip code for that is 7570. So far, known speakers will be Pastor Dalton Stout, who is the host and master of ceremonies of the conference. Billy Roper from the Shield Wall Network used to have a show on here as well. There are several others. I may be going out there. I'm not positive yet. It's rumored that white nationalist actor and author D.A. Hanks will be out there. Still some things that are unconfirmed. But the main issues that will be discussed are white and southern nationalism, Texas independence, protecting the Second Amendment, border security, reporting illegal immigrants, and protecting Confederate monuments. Good topics to discuss. The conference will begin at 11 a.m., and they will provide all the food and beverages. They will also be allowing camping on the property, and several motels are also nearby. Due to security reasons, they ask everyone who wishes to attend this event to contact Pastor Stout to register for the location. They do not allow news reporters to attend. No, George, I am not a news reporter. I'm a talk show host. There's a difference. Don't interrupt me. For information, you may contact Dalton Stout at TexasLeagueOfTheSouth@gmail.com or 936-718-4459. I don't see anything on admission. I don't know if this is a free event. It doesn't say. That would actually be nice if they would provide that information so I could relay that on to you. But this is what I have. Again, that is September the 29th of 2018 in New Boston, Texas. It is the White Unity Conference. Looks like it might be a really good one. I'm going to try and make this one myself, folks, like I said. So hopefully I will see you there. Wow. George just handed me this. It's not what I was going to talk about. I hadn't found this, but let me read the title here. Nazis, racists, bigots, extremism on U.S. ballot in 2018. There's a picture of somebody holding a Confederate flag. It says, learn the truth. I can't read what else it says on there. And the caption says, extremist candidates, including white supremacists and an avowed Nazi, are running for political office in unprecedented numbers in 2018. Wow. Okay, so the article says, Arthur Jones is an avowed Nazi. John Fitzgerald says the Holocaust is a myth. Rick Tyler wants to make America white again. Their fringe ideas are reminiscent of another age, but the unapologetic man who espouses them are all... That's a misprint. Should have been men. Are all on U.S. election ballots in 2018. Extremism and bigotry, even outright white supremacy and anti-Semitism, have found new lives in 21st century U.S. politics and the era of President Donald Trump, beyond just the toxic rhetoric of a few little-known cranks. They have received more exposure this year on the national stage than at any time in recent memory. And the mainly conservative proponents of hate running for office are proving to be a major embarrassment for the Republican Party. In Illinois, Jones, who called the Hollow Hoax the biggest, blackest lie in history, and once ran a newspaper ad with a large swastika in the middle, is the Republican candidate for Congress, after he won the party primary by running unopposed in a largely Democratic district. Russell Walker, running for a seat in North Carolina State House, proclaims there is nothing wrong with being a racist and that Jews are descendants of Satan. In Wisconsin, Paul Neelan, the leading Republican running to fill the seat in Congress currently held by retiring Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, has emerged as a leader of the alt-right movement, someone who critics warn wants to provide white nationalists and anti-Semites a stronger foothold in U.S. culture and politics. Well, hallelujah, brother. And the campaign website for Tyler, a Trump supporter running for Congress in Tennessee, depicts the Confederate flag flying atop the White House. Love to see that. One of his campaign billboards said, "Make America White Again." Experts say there is an unprecedented number of openly bigoted candidates this year, and that their chief enabler may well be the President of the United States himself. Trump's unorthodox use of racism-related and anti-Muslim stuff, all that bigoted language, has opened a door in politics that wasn't there before. Heidi Barrick, who, as an expert at the Southern Poverty Law Center, has been tracking hate groups since 1999, she told the AFP. "We've always had a smattering of neo-Nazis, but this is ratcheting the situation up much higher than it was before. No more taboos? Overt bigotry by a candidate would spell his or her death knell up until recently," Barrick said. "But in today's hyper-partisan political environment, such rhetoric may no longer be a deal-breaker. By blowing through these taboos and winning the presidency, Trump has shown a path to electoral success that people assumed wouldn't work," she said. "Yeah, it's because people are fed up with your crap, lady. This bigotry has spread into public life. Several incidents caught on video showing white people calling the police on African Americans going about their business have gone viral. One which showed two young men dragged out of a Starbucks coffee shop in handcuffs helped spark a national dialogue about race. The racial and ethnic divides are clear political display. In places like Virginia, where the Republican Senate nominee, the anti-immigration county supervisor, Corey Stewart, is under fire for his provocative associations. Stewart has praised Neelan as one of my personal heroes and has appeared with Jason Kessler, the man who organized a deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville last August. However, Stewart has since disavowed both men, and the move may have swayed some voters. On June 20th, he won the Republican Senate primary. Last week, he found himself on the debate stage with Democratic Senator Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's 2016 vice presidential nominee, where Stewart insisted, "There's not a racist bone in my body." But he maintained he is a vigorous defender of Virginia heritage and strongly opposes the removal of any Confederate monuments. Extremist candidates tend to flourish when they and their supporters feel unrepresented and ignored by the mainstream U.S. parties, either the GOP or Democrats. In 2016, Trump appealed to millions of such blue-collar voters, unemployed coal miners or factory workers or farmers, whom Trump labeled as the forgotten man. They felt betrayed by globalization and U.S. trade agreements, worried about illegal immigration, and mindful that their communities were changing. Well, folks, that is true. Stewart says Democrats had the chance to reach these voters, but their failure to do so helped contribute to a scenario where far-right candidates can thrive. "Democrats abandoned the working guy," Stewart told CNN. "They slammed the door in their face, and now it's President Trump and the new Republican Party that is supporting working Americans." Of course, the GOP has disavowed several extremist candidates, including Jones and Neelan. But the SPLC's Barrick says, Trump's embrace of controversial Republicans like former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who ran concentration camp-like jails for undocumented immigrants and is now running for Senate after being pardoned by Trump, his dog-whistle messaging to his party's fringe elements that there is space for them in political discourse. As Tom Cruise famously said in Taps at the end, "Ain't it beautiful?" That just warms my heart, folks. It really does. And that's yet another reason to get out to this Unity Conference in the end of September and meet up with like-minded folks. Well, I am out of time here, so as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. If you have anything you want me to put up on here, any event you want me to cover, please let me know, and I will gladly do it as I did earlier. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.